It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for listening to It's a Good Life. Now, if you're listening to the words that I'm speaking, let me say that it is no accident. God is still in charge, and whether you've been saved or not, God wants you to be saved. Now, if you are saved and you're living for Him and doing what He wants you to do as a child of God, then you keep on doing it. Well, if you're saved and you're out of the will of the Lord, that means you're still saved, but you're not doing what God wants you to do, and somebody's placed it within your mind and in your heart that you're no good to God anymore. Maybe that's happened to you. Well, let me tell you, to get rid of that, get it out of your mind and heart right now. God wants to use you as a saved person. If you've trusted Him as your Savior, the Bible says you have eternal life. That eternal life means forever. The word eternal means forever. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven. So my question is, why aren't you serving Him? You need to be serving Him. There could be several reasons why you're not serving Him, and maybe you're living in sin, and you like that sin more than you like serving God. Well, let me tell you this. God so loved you that He sent His only begotten Son, Christ. And Christ loved you so much, He gave His life for you. So, therefore, you need to be serving God. God loves you. We could never love God as much as He loved us. We could never love Jesus as much as He's loved us. But thank God we can serve Him here and we can show Him some of the love back. We can give some of that love back by serving Him today. If you're out of the will of God today and someone has told you you could never be of use to God anymore, don't you believe that. It's a trick of the devil. Well, right now, and I want you to pay attention very closely to this today, this is about God. This is about the work that God is giving us, and He's allowing us to be part of this today. Well, right now, I'd like for you to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read about a person here, and we're going to continue on in this section of Scripture about God's church, the purpose of the local church, and we're going to see a man who had actually denied the Lord. He said, "I don't know Him." Now, I call that a backslidden condition. In other words, he's saying he didn't know the Lord. I call that person who has turned his back on God a backslider. Well, notice what happened in Peter's life. This is a man who denied Christ just before Christ was crucified. And God used him mightily later on. Now, I want you to know that the Bible tells us that after Peter denied the Lord, he went out and he wept bitterly. That means he was sorry. Godly sorrow. That means he wanted to be used of God, and he was sorry that he had offended the mighty God that he had denied. He denied his Lord. If you're in a condition today where you're not serving God and you're not serving the Lord wholeheartedly, then you need to weep bitterly. You need to say, "I'm sorry, Lord, that I've not been serving You, that I am just not doing what I should be doing." Now, notice what happened after Peter wept bitterly. He got things right with God. He was a saved man. He denied the Lord, but he was not lost when he denied the Lord. He was a saved man, but he got things right with the Lord, and God blessed mightily. Well, not only did he bless Peter, not only did God bless Peter, but notice what happened in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. It says this, "Then they that gladly received his word." Now, Peter preached this. And it says that after he preached, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they, and this is the people who got saved, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, the apostles' teaching, the teaching of the Word of God. And it says they continued in fellowship, and they stayed together. In other words, they worshiped together. They fellowshiped together. That, and that verse goes on to say, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They not only fellowshiped together, they ate together. They observed the Lord's Supper together. And they prayed together. This was God's local church at Jerusalem. The people, after they got saved in Acts chapter 4, and we see this, the verses we just read, they continued to see people saved. And if you look in Acts chapter 4, it says this, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. We see about 3,000 in Acts chapter 2, we read that, who got saved. And now we see about 5,000 more. And this is not even considering these men's families. So we know that there were more than 5,000 people who got saved and more than 3,000 people who got saved as Peter preached. Well, notice also what happened because of the preached word going forth. I believe that one of the reasons we do not see revival in our country and today is because there is not persecution. Why is there not persecution of the Christians in our country like we see in other countries? I believe it's because the people of this country are not standing up for the Lord. If we had more preachers, more teachers, more churches, local churches who would stand up proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected, the only way to heaven, then I believe persecution would come to this land. Well, I believe when that happens, there will be revival. I'm still praying and asking God to give revival. I don't want to see persecution. I want to see revival before that happens. Well, the way things are going at this point, I believe that persecution is required for us to get serious with God. But notice, Peter preached. People got saved. But notice also what happened. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, Peter and John got arrested for preaching. Let's read that. And when they, this is the people, heard that, in other words, the preaching of what had taken place, people got saved and Peter preached the word and John preached. They'd been preaching. It says these people lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is." Acts chapter 4:31. Now Peter and John had said that. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And in Acts 4:31 it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they," and that's the people, "spake and they witnessed the word of God with boldness." Well, Peter and John preached. People got saved. And as Peter and John preached this, they were persecuted. And no doubt the people in Jerusalem were persecuted. Now you could read later on how that people got scattered. They went everywhere from Jerusalem preaching and teaching the word of God. These are the believers who got saved because of a backslidden man who got things right with God and let God use him mightily to spread the word of God. Once again, if you're out of the will of God, you need to get into the will of God. You need to say, "Lord, forgive me of my sin." 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You need to get serious with God. You need to be serving God today as a saved person. And I'll remind you of this, that every believer is in full-time Christian service according to the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 says this, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." We're not here, you see, to serve men. We're here to serve the Lord. And as we serve the Lord, men will get saved. men, women, boys, and girls, as we trust God to give us what we need to present, and that is the Word of God. These people will get saved. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Every believer needs to realize that he is in full-time Christian service, whether he gets monetary benefits or not. Now, you may be a doctor or a lawyer, a plumber or an insurance agent or a homemaker or a husband, a wife or whatever, but your chief vocation as a saved person is that you are a servant of the Most High God, and you are to walk worthy of your high, holy, and heavenly calling. And according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, where it says, I therefore, Paul says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. We need to be fully equipped and fully trained in our service for the Lord. And this is the purpose of the local assembly of believers, according to God's blueprint in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It says there, starting with verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And notice this in verse 12, for the perfecting, in other words, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If you have this attitude that you don't need to go to church to hear the Word of God, you're wrong. You need to be in and you need to belong to a local Bible-believing, fundamental church that's preaching the Word of God. Might I say that should be a fundamental independent Baptist church that's standing on the Word of God? Yes, they're still around. But don't use the excuse, well, I can't find one. There's one not close to my house. Sometimes we hear that. Well, get away from your house. Go out to where that church is located, and you get into that good, fundamental, Bible-believing local church that preaches and stands on the Word of God, and get busy for God. Well, the church was given, once again, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. You need to mature in the Lord. For the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, you need to get busy. The church was given to train the people of God what to do, how to live, to preach the word. It's not only for the preacher, the pastor standing in the pulpit, it's for every one of us. We are to be in service for God. Now, one person has said this, what do unbelievers notice as they come into local churches today? Do they see a healthy organism? Do they see well-fed members? Do they see Christ in you? Are they convicted by the awesome presence and person of God? Well, the greatest need today is for a lost world to see the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting himself in and through a healthy assembly of believers. The world needs to see Christ-like believers who understand and practice God's word. When God's people are fully equipped for the work of the ministry, they certainly will not be lax in gospel outreach, nor allow mission programs to suffer. When a church makes its priority edification, then true evangelism cannot help but be enhanced, as is well illustrated in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 24 and 25. The purpose of the local church is to equip the saint to acquaint the sinner with Jesus.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.